August 16th, 2009, you're listening to the T-Formers.com podcast. T-Formers.com podcast, a very special live show thanks to wonderful technical abilities we've been having. I am Ironhide 1975, and I am joined by a studio audience plus the ever anonymous
Ender.
Ender? I'm anonymous? Good lord. I thought it was like the occasional Ender or something, but no, okay. And the ever anonymous Ender. Man of mystery.
That was supposed to be Jason.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, man. Jay's supposed to space. He's supposed to go first. Anyhow.
How anonymous can he be when you call him Jason? I'm just, all right.
So exactly. And the ever ubiquitous, if that's a word, Z Piper.
Ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. all right. So, we have a little bit of, I'll be honest with you. There's not much news this week, but did everyone go see G.I. Joe?
Yes,
I did.
Okay, yes. Good. Cool. We could talk about this then. So, no, Shafik, if you haven't seen it, then I would say you want to cover your ears for this then. All right. He's saying, go ahead. It's okay. So, really quickly, I mean, it's somewhat Transformers related because they're both from Hasbro, but G.I. Joe, initial numbers on a scale from 1 to 5, just tell me a number real quick, Ender and Jace.
8. 4. Oh, yeah, if it's 1 to 10, then, which I don't, scales 1 to 5 are kind of crappy. 1 to 10. Yeah, I'd give it a solid 8 as well.
Okay, Ender?
8.
Okay. My thought is that this was a 6, and this would have been a lot better if it was a little more polished in the special effects department. I thought it captured the spirit of the original cartoon very well, but when you're going to have this big budget action movie, you can't skip out on the special effects. And maybe it's just because, you know, I work with computers so much, I see a lot more, but there are just too many times the special effects looked really, really cheesy and did not look realistic.
You know, I had one special effects issue, and that was Destro's head at the end. We ran out of money. We're only using this for one shot. I would hope in a future movie that they would polish that a lot more. What they were doing.
I would imagine so. Yeah, and I mean, really, and I'm probably going to catch flack for this, and you know, we don't need to take it off in too much of a tangent, but I agree that the special effects were not as good as some other movies that we have seen lately, you know, with awesome special effects. But as a cohesive script with character mm-hmm. and story development, I found it a far superior product to Transformers.
Really?
Yes, I did.
In every way.
Well, Ender, I know that's from you because you hate the movies. But I mean, I really was shaking my head in a couple of spots going, okay, they don't fail, but yet they're failing. Okay, somebody just...
They weren't failing, there wouldn't be much of a movie.
I know, but it's like...
tagline.
It's the little things that bother me thing, and the little things that bother me are when, okay, we just tunneled into their main headquarters and nobody notices. So, I mean... On the end of the movie I had was on the edge of my seat, but the actors were so bad. I mean, it was like, oh, the guy who played Duke, I'm like, okay, yeah, he's Mr. Attractive Guy, but he's just not, he doesn't know how to act his way out of a paper bag. So,
Don't get me wrong. There was absolutely no Oscar-winning high-caliber acting going on.
Right, and I wasn't expecting, you know, high-caliber acting, but at least some acting would have been nice. I mean, it was just sort of like, all right, either they're way too much in the William Shatner style of acting school, or they're just in the subtle monotone, I want in sort of acting school.
Really, I think you're overreacting. And one thing I have
I'm overreacting.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought Hawk was played very well for, you know, for instance, I thought that performance wasn't phoned in at all. They put too much modulation on Cobra Commander, but there was nothing wrong with that.
You didn't think when they're walking down the hallway, sort of exaggerating his walking movements as he was a scientist, and it was just sort of like, come on, I know it's supposed to be a cartoon movie, but you don't have to act like a cartoon. You can walk normally down the hall of a big place.
Really, I think
I thought he was supposed to be injured.
Yeah, he was maimed, dude. I mean, he got...
I don't know. To me, it looked very fake, but...
Who knows if there's even a leg there, the way they portrayed that.
I don't know. I mean, to me, it was sort of like the acting was subpar compared to TF2, and it for me, it was like the special effects were definitely subpar.
But, okay, you know, besides Spike's dad, who did a worse job?
I think Shia LaBeouf is. I mean, granted, except when he's medicated, I thought he does an awesome job. But I want to go in, and I don't want to linger too much on this, so I would give it a 6. You guys thought it was actually well done.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I have to like, I mean, I have so many, you know, like wag of the fingers that, you know, I want to give a tip of the hat when I see it there. This was the first movie in as much as I can remember that there was a Wayans brother in it that they actually acted normal somewhat. I mean, it's like he had that stupid little Wayans like chotch that they do. But it was very muted down. It wasn't like, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons movie where he was a total idiot and pretty much damn near any other movie where they're in and they're total idiots. It's like it was enough to make the character engaging and a little humorous, but not so over the top. And it's like the whole time I was looking at him, I'm like, man, if like Skids and Mudflap were like that, which did have, you know, a little bit of like, you know, some attitude in there, a little bit of swagger, but not ghetto fabulous,
right?
You know that that I enjoyed his performance in that movie.
Good.
Well, I really like. I mean, what I'd like to note. I agree with all that 100%. I'm totally on board with that. There was like these things called plot devices in this movie, as opposed to plot holes.
you know,
things that were used as recurring elements that like served one purpose earlier in the film, and then came back around and served another purpose in another act.
Oh, like, my God.
I mean, it was like someone was planning it when they wrote it.
Well, once again, I a friend of mine found a copy of TF2 and showed it to me on a computer, not of my own. And I tell you, once again, Ender, I know your complaints, but I was going through, I'm like, well, I have an explanation for that. I don't know why he's so angry about that. And maybe it's just me, but, you know, yes, a copy in the chat room. So, yes, it's out there. It's called BitTorrent. So, not on my computer. anyhow, I don't know. I thought Transformers was a much better movie, and I had a story that made a little more sense. Granted, if they just removed, you know, the stereotypes that we don't like, I thought it would have been a better one. But, I don't know. I was trying to enjoy G.I. Joe, and too many times I was scratching my head going, man, that special effect there just failed completely.
Well, see, that's the thing. You really focus on, and this isn't meant to be insultive, but you focus more on the surface things. That explosion looked cool. Oh, that explosion looked fake. Yes, Transformers was superior as far as special effects, but it was wholly inferior as far as writing, character development, and in my opinion, anything that matters for a movie.
I would politely disagree, but yes, I do disagree with your assumption of what it's me seeing things on the surface, but I think that's just me. Anyhow.
Yeah, I'm somebody who's watched like Doctor Who my whole life, so I just glaze over special effects. It's either like it's so bad that it detracts, or it's believable enough.
You guys are really more for the content, and I'm more of I like the shiny surface, so.
Okay, we didn't say that, but we'll go.
All right. So moving on. Let's get into some what news we have this week, and then we have a crap load of readers' email that I've been neglecting, so we can pad the episode with that. So, Jace, Revenge of the Fallen movie box. Tell us about that.
Why, yes. Online UK retailer Play.com has posted what may be the official box artwork to the Transformers Revenge of the Fallen single and two-disc edition product pages. And while each of the box artworks looks rather professional, each product kind of has a caveat that reads, cover artwork to be confirmed. So this may or may not be it. So, I mean, it's decent. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, like all the artwork I saw like around Burger King or whatnot. I think the double disc is a little cheesy, you know, with Shy in his, super action pose.
I don't think this is the actual, because if you watched the artwork come out of the previous movie, it's very simplistic for the movie, for the boxes. It's either a face or something on a black background. I don't think that this is, looking at this, I don't think this would be the artwork for the movie. I would be surprised.
Well, how many covers have come out for the first movie when you think about it? I mean, like, there's been at least
20.
It's something ridiculous. So, and oh my gosh, you mean the DVD cover is going to have the poster on the front? Okay, yeah, what a shock.
Yeah.
That's never happened before.
Yeah, so yeah. I would be surprised if they got, well, they probably do have that emotion already, so. But
and then, like they were saying, like a transforming cover, like one of the previous ones. Woo.
Yeah, that's the one I got just because I had to add it to the Prime collection. But.
Right.
By the way, the chat room is saying it's so funny that I love Transformers 2 and not G.I. Joe and the irony of it all. So, yes, guys, I am just irony up the wazoo, so just keep that in mind. Let's see. What is this? He's also saying Play.com is one of the leading online DVD providers and games and whatnot in the UK. I mean, so all right. Well, it might be legit, but I don't know. To me, it doesn't look legit. But we'll see what happens here in a couple months. I'm assuming they're probably going to have that out for Christmas.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd probably start having it out mid-November, if not, just maybe slightly after that for the Thanksgiving holiday shopping
before
season.
Before Halloween, the chat room is saying. Wow. Oh. All right. Well, then you can include that in the kiddies' little Halloween things. So, all right. Moving on to toy news. Ender, would you read about universe exclusives?
I would be delighted.
Please do.
We have two new in-package shots of upcoming Transformers Universe exclusives. Yay, Universe. Nice to get some Universe. First up, we have a look at the Toys R Us store exclusive commemorative edition Insecticons within its confines. They had these out at BotCon, and I expect they had them out at Comic-Con as well. They look like the Insecticons. They're cool. It'll be great to get those. The other image is Ultra Power Glide, repainted in its Generation 1 colors. And that's going to be a Walmart exclusive. So, going to do what the whole point of that figure was.
Which we don't mention that name on the podcast.
We have to let the people who actually do shop there.
I didn't get that memo.
It's the place we don't speak of.
Considering it's an exclusive, okay. I'm not fond of it either. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
you went to BotCon, didn't you?
Yes.
Now, you said that they had these, the Insecticons
these
at BotCon. Now, are
they had
these,
both these out, actually.
Because I'm really excited about the Insecticons. Now, I know with, like, new current, safety features and whatnot, as far as, like, what you can make for kids, did they alter anything about them, like the small pieces, or are they pretty much as you remember?
They're pretty much as I remember. I mean, there could be differences that I'm overlooking. But I had these when I was a kid, and
did they
look
change,
like I remember.
Did they change? Because my Insecticons are very – the silver parts have gotten a lot of yellow on them over the years.
No, these look to be – these have everything silver where it should be. If anything, these look nicer than I remember.
Okay.
As a kid.
Because I have all three Insecticons, and they were – I mean, the first versions I had broke – and they were just prone to just yellowing immediately. So I was wondering if we come up with a way to prevent that from happening to toys over the course of the years or not.
I think that's because that your hands secrete a corrosive bile. So you never really washed them that much. Everything you touch would wither and eventually die.
Yeah. So.
Sadly, that's not too far from the truth. We do secrete all sorts of horrible things that make paint come off of plastic.
Yep.
So
yes,
if
that's
you handle a toy that has paint, it will eventually erode.
That's
entropy
why
entropy will take effect, like all things.
That's why when I was at the Air Force Museum, I was just wanted to touch the little what's the big octagon looking jet that's the stealth one that was all square? What was the name of that plane?
The stealth
stealth bomber, yeah. Stealth bomber? I just wanted to touch it. I got in trouble for touching it because of, you know, the oil that secretes from my hands. It's like, well, what's the whole point? I can look at it, I can't touch it. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Devil's advocate.
Anyhow. All right. So, all right, moving on to the next story. Exclusive Lucky Draw Showcase and Black Convoy unveiling at Auto Assembly. And actually,
Black God Convoy.
Auto Assembly 2009 kicks off this Friday in the UK, or probably has already been there. What's sure to be a good time just got better. TF at the Moon, or TF at Moon, will be putting their immense Lucky Draw collection on display, a rare event on its own. There will be, they will also be unveiling two very rare, even by Lucky Draw standards, toys for the first time in public. TV Magazine Roadmaster Convoy and Black God Magnus. Surprised they're even saying the term black. Check out the post for more details at TF at Moon. So, actually, we'll be bringing in the some of our guys in the chat room here. I may bring in some of our UK friends to give us an update if they went to... did anybody in the chat room go to Auto Assembly? I'm presuming you all did.
Let me interject here for a second about what I'm looking at here. So these two pictures, which are very small and rather poor quality, these are rare ones. Is that what I'm understanding, or these were relatively well produced?
I believe they're contest figures. They they were like the prize in a contest. So they're extremely rare in number. That's why they're on Lucky Draws. I think I don't know that much about them. But there's only like five or six of these.
And see, this is one of those things that to me would kind of be like a double-edged sword here, because the one that I'm looking at here, the one on the right, the Prime, am I correct in that he's got an orange cab, lime green leggings, steel ankle guards, sky blue arms, navy head, and just – I mean, it looks like they
gotta
gave
be a
it
– prototype.
Well, it's like, it looks like, I mean, if that's really how it ended up, it looks like they just gave like a line drawing to a 5-year-old kid and said, color it. And then they just made it off of that. I mean, because if that's what it is, I'd be like, yay, I won. It's like, woo, you got a venereal disease. Yay. Like, what?
I get the feeling that's a prototype that may also be at the show or something. Maybe that isn't mentioned, because that doesn't look like a Lucky Draw to me. Lucky Draws are customarily repaints. A lot of times they're just gold chrome versions of like a Prime or some popular figure. I gotta say, these things do nothing for me. When I see Lucky Draw, I kind of yawn. I'm like, okay, yeah, it's gold.
All right, then yawning on to the next story then. Why don't you read it then, Ender?
I just want to end that one there.
All yeah, right. Well, I get the feeling it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, yell at Lucky Draw. So next story.
Okay, so, well, this I am excited about. First look at animated Blackout. Now, I'd seen gray pictures of him before, but this is the first time I've seen him actually painted up. Thanks to Jen Zhao, we have our first look at Transformers Animated Voyager Blackout. As far as we know, this is the most substantial look at the figure yet. The figure, along with several other animated figures, will be the last figures from the series to make it to shelves, which is tragic. But I'm really excited to see this guy. I think he looks great. Animated toys are pure win to me. So.
Yeah, I mean, looking at all the pictures, I totally agree. The only issue that I have is that his head slash face is really just more like a pimple on his chest. There's not a lot of definition there. I mean, I realize that that's kind of based on how the character was, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'd like to see a little more definition.
Well, it's hard to tell if that's a mobile thing there too. There does seem to be a little hole it protrudes from, so it depends on how it's configured. The other thing that's really exciting about this is the first, I think, like true movie character that was only in the movies, its origin is in the movies, to go into animated.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting to see their take on that. And then Lockdown will be the first animated character to come out of it and go into the movie verse as a toy. So it's kind of an interesting thing to see, like, where that aesthetic goes when you shift universes.
Yeah, I mean, all in all, I think that, you know, stylistically, they did a really good job as far as that, you know, is concerned, translating it into, you know, from the movie verse into this. But yeah, that's the only thing that bothered me, because when I first looked at him, I actually thought that the rotor base on top of what would be his shoulders was his head. It took
right.
me. Wait, is that? Oh, that's his face down there, because literally it just looks like a little braille bump to me.
Actually,
well, that is where his face is situated on the movie one, kind of. I mean, it's exaggerated because it's the animated version, but that is pretty accurate. It kind of sets in there.
The chat room says, just wait till they repaint him as animated Grindor. So, and right. They also say his chest looks like the Meta Knight when transformed, and that Lockdown went from animated to the movie line exchange students.
Very good. It looks point. like a Mennonite?
Meta Knight. I don't know what that means.
Oh, the Meta
like, I'm looking for the beard. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure what that means, so you got to explain that to me.
It's a particular religious beliefs.
Sect.
I don't want to use the word sect because that's not correct, but, you know, it's
Oh, look at Jason being politically correct. Whoa.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
Yeah, right.
Well,
I know you've seen him before. Like, the women, they're all in, like, these long dresses that are either blue or black.
Oh, he's saying from the game Kirby.
And they got little, like, coffee filter hats.
Yeah, these little hairnet coffee filter looking things.
Shafik is saying from the game Kirby. Meta Knight from Kirby, you know, the game and stuff.
Yeah, no, we're talking about the religious thing that's not a sect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sorry. We're talking about Meta Knight, and then he's talking about Meta Knights.
Yeah, sorry, I never played that stupid game. It required too much.
I want to see, like, Meta Knights versus Mennonites.
There you go.
God. All right. Before the
we will kill them with the power of prayer. Mighty energy swords.
Hey, by the way, I saw a great movie.
Beard sword.
I saw a great fantasy movie last night that I think you told me about, Jason. I think Michael Bay should definitely see, called Stardust.
Oh, yeah. It was a solid movie, man. Good storytelling.
I think you came home that one night, you were telling me about, this is a really good fantasy movie that will never get anywhere because fantasy movies never get anywhere, and it was really good.
Yeah, and it's just, I realize all of a sudden we're like, whoa, switch to a different track here. But yeah, that was probably well, and really it was, you know, from Neil Gaiman, you know, had a hand in it there. So and he's an amazing writer. But yeah, it was probably and still is the best fantasy movie that I've probably seen in, you know, last several years.
I loved it. I thought it was exceptionally well done, and just, you know, maybe a little out of its, I mean, think of it, it was like a modern day never ending story, I felt. So, but all right, just a quick thought. I was watching that going, man, Michael Bay needs to watch and sit, you know, watch this movie to understand how to do a slow scene. But
yeah, exactly.
It's like, this is how you build up drama. All right, moving on, Jace. Next story, please. Impossible Toys. I left this one specifically for you.
And yeah, this is I'm looking forward to this. We've got, like, all of a sudden to go, like, what, like, two decades with nothing with RC, and now everybody's like, you know, here you go. That's fine. But yeah, Impossible Toys has responded to like this particular story, good and bad comments on their website, because they had announced, you know, they're doing a Gen 1 RC, and they put up some decidedly crappy pictures earlier on, and they were, you know, it was back and forth. So they've given us some computer renderings, which, if the computer renderings are pretty close, you know, even like 85% of the way there of what the final toy is going to look like, these are going to be, or this RC is going to be phenomenal.
It's
as far
pretty
as
close
goes.
To the movie, the animated movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously that's what, you know, they were going for there, and yeah, the I don't know why, but the renderings of the car motive kind of reminds me of Jessica Rabbit. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the pink and the voluptuous curves.
I think it's maybe because everything kind of reminds you of Jessica Rabbit.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think you just have a Jessica Rabbit fetish. Let's just be honest, Jay. So.
Well, she's.
Was she hot? Did you guys find her hot as a kid? Like, you know, like.
I'm married. I'm not talking about that on here.
Yeah, I was. You don't want to know what I seriously. It's like when I was younger, it was like my dream, my absolute dream was to get like Lady J, the Baroness and Jessica Rabbit in a room together at the same time. Oh.
Because that was always one of those questions, one of those discussions you had at college was like, do you ever find cartoon characters attractive?
Oh, God, yes. Before I was old enough.
I'm not alone then.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was like, a young kid going through puberty and whatnot, or like just coming up on it, you know, the internet really didn't exist. So the only access I had to seeing any naughty bits was occasionally on HBO or Showtime or something. And, you know, that's not exactly on demand. You know, it's not like you're like, I'm in the mood and you go over to the internet and whatever. So,
right.
Yeah, cartoons, though. They were always with me.
Ender, yes. For you?
This conversation has reached a point of intimacy I think I may back away from.
All right. Well, with that being next story then. iGear IGPP01 Mini Masterpiece Optimus Prime Gallery. Say that five times fast. TF08's iGear has updated their page with images of their upcoming mini Masterpiece Optimus Prime figure. While coming out in November, the figure is still in its gray stages, but it looks great already. These images also show off a mini Masterpiece compared to the original MP01 Masterpiece Convoy. And, of course, you can go view that at the TFormers.com website. So, guys, what do we think of this?
Well, let me ask you, is this just basically the exact same figure? They're still shooting for the same level of articulation, just 60% as big? Is that pretty much what I'm getting from this?
I believe so. To be honest, I just looked at this article, but I believe that is the case. Ender, have you heard anything about this?
No, that's what I was wondering too.
What it looks like.
I don't know if there's any added functionality or anything, but it just looks like
smaller version
MP Prime Jr.
Well, and see, if it really is the same amount of articulation, because that's what I loved about the other big figure, was just the crazy amount of poseability you could get with it. If it's the same kind of thing, just a little smaller, I actually support that, because this way he would be, for those people that enjoy actually playing with their Transformers or making, Christmas cards out of them and that kind of stuff.
Jeez, who would do that?
I don't know, but for those that do, it's a little more in scale with the other stuff. I mean, they're definitely cool, the big Masterpiece ones, but they tower over your average, retail fare. And I think getting him a little bit closer in that size for scale purposes, which to me makes a bit of a difference. I like that, as long as we're not sacrificing quality.
The chat room is complaining about more. They're saying pain in my pocket. So I can relate. Hurts my pockets. I don't know. I think that the Classics Prime mold has already been done to death, and I think the Masterpiece Prime mold is done. So, I think they should really work on making the movie Prime better.
Well, I don't know how much better it could get than that Leader Prime. That was pretty.
Oh, was it? Well, see, the only one I have is the first movie's the blue repaint, and that was pretty decent. Did they improve on it with the recent molds?
Yeah, when you get off this, you have to get up and go to the store and go buy a Leader Class Movie Prime, because they haven't done that well, you are very mistaken.
But see, if I do that, I gotta buy.
It should have been a Masterpiece. They could have called this. They put like one, a couple of metal parts on it and put like ages like 15 and up. It would have been a Masterpiece. In fact, they shouldn't have been selling it to 5-year-olds. It's too complicated. But
see, if I do that, then I have to go get. If I do that, I have to go get like Jetfire. I mean, you just can't buy.
You wait for the inevitable Jetfire 2-pack. I'm waiting. They're going to have that Prime with the gun out in a little bit. I'll wait for that to get my second one.
By the way, they're calling you they're calling you C-3PO, and then me R2-D2 and Ender Chewie, so go figure.
Goodness gracious me.
Hey, I will tell you on a little side note, I was doing Yoda the other day, and my new roommate actually said that I did a pretty good Yoda. I'm like, really? I thought of all the voices that I sucked on that.
Honestly, the key to doing a good Yoda is putting your fists to the side of your head with your thumb sticking out and wiggling them around. That's the key to a good Yoda.
Yeah, we're encouraging you to do other voices so that way we don't have to be subjected to sea spray anymore.
I'm trying. do or do not, there is no try. All right.
Actions are the right of all sentient beings.
Ooh, that's very... Andrew, you did another good one. What was the other one you did that was really good?
I can do a few. I don't know. What, it depends on what I've thrown out there.
You did one a couple episodes ago. I'm like, wow, that was really spot on.
Well, I think that some maybe free drinks is the right of all sentient beings came out a little bit better.
I think it was that, and then... The other one I do is that one of our friends has a cat named Grimlock. So whenever I see it, I go, "Me Grimlock, big pussy."
But, okay.
What? It's a cat. It's a cat.
Sure, Greg Berger will be thrilled.
Or David K. All right, moving on to what's the next?
Maybe it's Ralph Benito has a headache in his whole body.
Ralph Benito, or Meatwad from Actor Tina. Anyhow, somebody take the next story quick before we.
I got it. Okay, I'll do it. I'm up. All right, Fans Project has updated their website to provide a rather unnecessarily blurry shot of their figure, I should say, of the upcoming TFX Protector figure, which is, you know, just Rodimus Prime. This image shows off classic Rodimus towing the trailer and armor that will eventually benefit the figure. The second image also shows the trailer from all different angles and a mock-up of the figure with the armor on. It looks pretty cool. Yeah, it'd be nice to have like a proper Rodimus.
I'm loving this. If they do this, this is like they're doing like everything that we want done with the classics line that Hasbro won't do. Like give us like trailers and stuff.
Well, and this is the other. This is what I've been thinking about. The last three stories we did were. I think we're all. I don't know who is the Prime we just talked about an official Hasbro licensed thing, or is that yet again somebody.
Well, I'm assuming they have to get licensed here. Hasbro shuts them down, don't they?
Well, no, I don't think any of these people have licenses for that stuff. Isn't that what we were talking about this around BotCon?
Well, yeah, in BotCon.
The Fans Project stuff and the Impossible stuff, I don't think they have.
Oh, they got to, because Hasbro would be ballistic about that, I think.
Well, that's just it, aren't they? I mean, I keep wondering which one of these things is going to bring down some wrath. I thought all these were...
You know what?
That's why it's not called Rodimus. That's why it's not Rodimus Prime. Because they don't have the rights to it.
Well, are you saying Hasbro doesn't have the rights to Rodimus or Hasbro?
No. I'm saying that Fans Project can't call these toys by their names because
they're
technically not that. And I was thinking of especially about the RC. I mean, and as bad as Hasbro's been about getting an RC out to us for 20 years, I'm just waiting for them to turn around and be like, you cannot flat out make one of our characters.
Well, I know at BotCon they were saying that they would
get around to someday.
At BotCon, weren't they saying that they were going to have to start getting a little more stringent on their copyrights and stuff?
They were. We haven't seen any of that actually happen yet. But that's what I was. Something about that RC was just making me think like any minute now.
Well, what would they call it? They call it female, female robot or something like that, or RC.
Yes. Well, what are they? Yeah, I mean, do they have a name?
I don't care if they call it Super Lipstick Avon Robot.
Oh, my God, Avon. Oh, the days of Avon. Do you guys remember the Avon lady?
They still exist, man.
Yeah, that was a big thing with my parents for some reason. Wow, that's an 80s flashback for me. Okay, back to the present.
I think they have a name for that RC here. Picture our TRNS-01.
Oh, okay. Well, it's obvious they can't seem to call it... I don't know. Let me do some research and see.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that either. But
yeah, let me throw that back to my sources and see what they say about the naming conventions. If the reason why they can't call it certain things is because of licensing. I would have
to admit that's most likely the case, man. I mean,
but couldn't Hasbro make a case? It's like, well, it looks like our RC. I mean, you know, it is RC. I would have to believe that naming would not seclude them from copyright infringement.
Right. No, it wouldn't. I mean, that's why Hasbro was saying, like, they've been kind of nice about it so far. Mm. But the more it gets kind of brazen, the more they're tempted to do something about it. Because I think, too, they don't want to just go out and, like, completely piss all the fans off. Because especially something like RC, it's like, yeah, we've only been waiting 20 years. You know, you guys are, like, getting around to a version of it now. But, you know, you have to defend your copyrights or you lose them.
I'm not a lawyer, so yeah, I can't.
No, if you have to vigorously defend a copyright. If you don't, you lose the copyright.
Right. Right. I mean, there's so many cases. I mean, that's a whole industry in itself, is being a copyright lawyer. So,
yeah,
because there's like the most famous case is somebody made a full blown statue off of a photograph and got basically lost, even though it was, you know, they were saying it's a different medium. So I'm not sure about that. So let's see. The chat room is saying they're using this DG1 design from the cartoon. Right. So I don't know. But you know, oh, so which reminds me not to switch gears real quick, but you know, so I was watching this version that was on a computer, and I have to tell you, I was seeing things that I did not see in a theater before, and I'm wondering if watching that movie in the theater, it's something with the megahertz or whatever whatever it is, my eyesight or something, because I swear this grainy copy, yeah, pirated copy that my friend was showing me on his computer was so much clearer. I could see so much more of the action, and I don't know why, if that's just a difference between seeing something in the theater and seeing it on a and the same thing happened when I got the DVD. Yeah, the same thing happened with the DVD of the first movie. I was seeing things I never saw before, so I'm wondering if watching it when we finally get a true DVD copy, I'll even love it even more. But I actually got to see, the whole point of this rambling is I got to actually see RC get blown in the face where I kept missing it before. So,
did you see it in the IMAX before?
No, I didn't see it in the IMAX. Really wanted to, but you know, I saw it three times in a regular, I think it was a digital projection movie theater, and I swear it was just it certain things were hard for me to see. And it felt like I was in a strobe room at times. And then watching somebody who had recorded it, which looks like the IMAX version because they had a little bit extra footage, I was seeing things. I mean, the fights at the end, actually, I could watch for a change. So
it was like, you might want to switch movie theaters. Sounds like maybe they have an issue.
I don't know. Maybe it's just my – because, Jace, you have this issue with megahertz on monitors too, don't you?
Well, I just can't look at a monitor that's running anything less than usually around like 85 megahertz, just because I see the flicker in the screen then, and it gives me a headache.
Yeah, and I'm thinking I may have a case with that too, because watching – and then they're starting to do this too with – I mean, G.I. Joe is another example of just really fast animation. But, three times watching the fight scene with the third time I was actually able to see certain things I hadn't seen before. But – when I was watching this version on the computer, I'm like, this is so clear. And even though it wasn't clear because it was grainy, because it was obviously somebody had taped it at the theater, it was a little smoother for me. And I'm like, oh, so that's how RC died. Okay, there's the shot Sideswipe took to the chest. You know, things that other people were talking about that I missed before. So anyhow, just a side tangent there. I thought that they were talking about RC brought that up, so... Yeah, Sideswipe didn't die. For some reason, somebody was telling I misconstrued.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I misconstrued what the Moonbase 2 guys said in their YouTube video. They say he took a thing to the chest, and I thought he died. So, no, he was shot directly in the chest after he says, "Sam, over here," or something like that. So, anyhow, next story. New looks at place we don't mention. Exclusive Fear Swoop, Sideswipe, and Mudflap 3-pack. And thanks to TP Flickr member Jurex Combine Train, who has posted an entire image of gallery images of the exclusive action figure 3-pack that includes Fear Swoop, Legends Sideswipe, and Legends Mudflap in and out of the packaging. Wow, this is the most weirdest hodgepodge of anything I've ever seen. And who the heck is Fear Swoop? Or is it Fear Swoop?
Anybody that was my question too.
Who is this guy?
So
we've run out of names.
Yeah, I mean, well, and then he says he's a reference to Hooligan, which is another character I never noticed. So,
I mean, could it just be that,
like, those G.I. Joe Tiger Force things way back when?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering, like, is it like, oh, we want to make an exclusive, and here we'll give you a repaint and give it some stupid name, and.
Is it a Minicon reference, maybe, or a G2?
It says it's G2. It says it's G2, but it's not anything I remember.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's like, it's a G2 Minicon pretender reference, and I'm like, I didn't pay attention then, guys. I have no idea. If it wasn't for Jason's book, I didn't realize. Jason bought, what was it? What were those two books you got at the BotCon? the Almanac.
Yeah, basically, it was just the Almanac of all of the Transformer toys ever produced up through, G2.
So I never realized there were so many things in the mini in the little mini line, not the mini. What was it like the when the Micro Machines things were going on?
MicroMasters.
Yeah, the Micro. I'm like, holy crap! I never realized there were so many toys I was unaware of going through this book, and I'm like, I've only begun to understand what is in the Transformers universe looking at his books.
Well, I was paying attention during G2, and I don't remember. So,
yeah. Oh, here we go. Somebody, see, this is what's great. They already sent us a photo, a link in the chat room. He's a Decepticon. He's a hit and run. Wow, talk about a crazy paint job. Hooligan, carded, Decepticon, function, hit and run, subgroup, Cyberjets.
So apparently he is good for stealthing into crazy 1970s disco parties, doing his business, and then getting out. Like, oh, I thought there was a Decepticon here, but damn, he blended in with the tiger skin rug, yo.
Disco hooligan.
You got to get that, that Pimp Daddy Destro to stand next to this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, this guy is smoking hot.
Yeah, Disco Stew meets up with Disco Hoogan on an adventure. All right, well, that's it for the toy news. On to cartoon news. Just a note, AllSpark Almanac launched a side party in Burbank August 22, and Jim Cerenza provided an update in the second Transformers animated AllSpark Almanac. Foreshadowing has also announced a launch and sign party for August 22nd. And let's see, Mr. Sorensen, Bill Forrester, and Derek Wyatt will be at Emerald Knights at 4116 West Burbank Boulevard, Burbank, California, at 2 p.m. So if you guys are around the Burbank area at this time, give it a look, and hey, you can go meet the guys and get your books signed. So from what I'm seeing, there are some really good sketch designs coming out of this little Almanac thing.
So, I'm really excited about this book, actually.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, just the stuff for Swindle, it's like, oh, great characters. Once again, I'm so sad that animated is gone, because it was just a great, great cartoon.
Yeah, it's really, well, this is like this little memorial book here. There's going to be a lot of the series info and a lot of the, well, it's kind of neat that since it's a more recent thing and they know there's a market for the preservation of like things like the series Bible and sketches and stuff like that, that we get something like this that has like a comprehensive listing of things they were going to do and things they were, you know, the process of creating them. So I think it's going to be a really neat book.
I'm same.
Just picking that up.
If you guys are nice, maybe I'll send it to you for Christmas. So, all right, on to comic news. Tales of the Fallen, number one review. IDW opened its first Revenge of the Fallen volume to the movieverse this week with Tales of the Fallen, number one. Like the Spotlight series, Tales of the Fallen is a series of one-issue stories. This one focuses on Bumblebee and Sam. Set between the 07 movie and Revenge of the Fallen, issue one is a very standard one-issue character narrated seed of small scenes punctuated by the fight at the end. And you can check out the review. Andrew, I'm assuming you've wrote the review.
So. I wrote the review, so.
So 7 out of 10. So what'd you think?
7 out of 10 for me in a comic is kind of can be a real, like, not great, but it's not bad. It was, you know, it's worth picking up if you're into the movieverse. there's a little backstory of Sam and Bumblebee and what was going on between the movies with them. And, you know, fighting with his parents over having him there, stuff like that. There's a character in there who I thought that maybe we were going to see the ultimate fate of. I won't spoiler it here, but it... you know, they kind of wussed out on at the end. They're like, oh, but no, everything's okay. And it's the problem with all the movieverse comics is they really feel the need to keep everything sort of episodic and status quo, I think, because they never know what's going to happen in the next movie.
Right, right.
So you can't kill anybody off. You can't really settle anything. You just either you have to make something new of your own to settle.
Right.
Or you only kind of get to play with somebody else's toys for a little bit.
Gotcha. So what else? Was there any other comics besides, we know All Hail Megatron number 14 is coming out this week?
Yeah, and we didn't talk about 13 before that I know of. It was...
Okay, well, I could talk with 13. And then, I can actually, I mean, I actually picked up, well, I found 1 through 10 online, and then I picked up that and Spotlight Metroplex. Spending more money, I ain't actually walking into a comic store for a change. I actually left the house. So a couple quick questions. Now, by the way, All Hail Megatron, awesome series. Absolutely awesome series, in my opinion. Yeah. And I could see where you guys were getting impatient, but reading it from 1 to 12, wow. So a couple questions I have. First of all, which universe does this take place in? Is this a parallel, like, universe, or what universe is this in?
All of IDW's Generation 1 stuff is supposed to be in the same universe, but it is different. It is not the Ark landed on the Earth in 19, you know, and was awoken in 1984,
right. G1.
It has those characters, and they, as characters, are pretty intact, but the story is very different in terms of how they operate and the history of the war and their interaction with Earth. It's very different.
So does All Hail Megatron actually tie into the other IDW comics?
Yes. Okay. It is the continuation of those. It is set approximately a year after Maximum Dinobots, which, you know.
Right, which I felt I need to read, because there was a whole side thing with Sunstreaker, which I had no idea what that was about.
Well, Maximum Dinobots is actually already out in trade, if you want to go look for that.
I will. I'll go off on Spotlight Metroplex. I thought it was way too short, even though it was absolutely gorgeous. It
started up and you're like, hey, bring that back here.
Yeah, it's like, wait, now it's over? That's it?
Yeah, it certainly posed more questions than it answered.
Yeah, it was like, it was great because it used, you know, the comic art to its full standard, but it was just, as soon as it started up, I'm like, that's it?
I can only assume they'll start to go into that stuff in the monthly, because usually what the format is with the spotlights is there's sort of an overall story arc
contained
within them. But they're not going to do spotlights for a little while. They're actually being replaced with Tales of the Fallen for the time being.
Gotcha.
That's, I think, either 5 or 6 issues.
So a couple quick more questions. So I'm assuming from All Hail Megatron, they started building the Insecticons, and the Swarm is like the failed Insecticons before they got to the final three?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They were all supposed to be modified former. They were Decepticons to start out with. So, like, I think some people got the impression that they were like creating these things from scratch. I got the impression from when I think Thundercracker was complaining about them that they had been Decepticons before.
Right.
Making them into Insecticons as we know them was what was happening. They were mutated Decepticons. They were not new creations.
Gotcha. Because I was sort of
confused some people continuity-wise, because Bombshell was referenced in an earlier time period.
Yeah, because I was sort of like, okay, Insecticons, and then there's the three, and then I'm assuming wasn't the first appearance of Devastator now, was it?
Actually, All Hail Megatron is the first appearance of Devastator. There was a big thing in some of the past spotlights about getting the technology to make a Gestalt.
Okay.
And so this was the first use of a Gestalt in battle. That's really how, you know, at the beginning of the series, the Autobots have been defeated, essentially.
Right.
Because they got flattened by Devastator.
And they really don't, what I can understand probably drove you guys nuts is they really don't explain what happened till they, Cup and What's-His-Face and Jazz actually sit down like issue 6 and actually talk about what the heck happened. Then it's like, okay, I've been caught up. Now I feel a little bit better what's going on.
Well, see, that frustrated a lot of people. I'm actually more in your boat. I didn't start reading until like issue 7. So
yeah.
I bought the trade and I caught right up. And so I was never bothered by that. I think that I can see how it was frustrating for people to not know what was going on. But
right.
That's the thing about IDW is these things are really meant to be read in the trade.
I agree. I mean, it was reading from back to beginning to back. And then in the last one with the backstory on Ironhide. And then, you know, the hearing about how he's drawing them differently because he's getting tired of drawing them. And then, you know, the spoiler with Prime on that one, taking the drink, I was like, wow, that's actually, all right, that makes a little sense now,
well,
so.
I gotta say, in terms of, I mean, like, you can't complain about his art.
No,
I mean,
it's great.
The guy can draw, but the deal is, with those, the design of them and the style is, it's emaciated corpses in disguise. I maybe want to put the book down. I mean, like, it was just like, wow, that's ugly. Really don't want to keep looking at that.
It was a little bit different, but you know what? I could see where he's going with these. He's trying to make it a little more human. But, I mean, all in all, I thought, I mean, the and that backstory tied in great. I love anything that features Ironhide for obvious reasons. Yeah. But to wrap it up here, I thought All Hail Megatron, supremely well-done story. The only thing I skipped over was the human stuff because I really could care less about the human stuff. But all in all, I mean, it was just it was funny seeing Cup come in and him and Jazz argue over rank and stuff like that. But it was yeah. really well done. So anyhow,
real quick, comic news though. This Wednesday coming out is going to be All Hail Megatron 14, and that's going to have the first story in there is going to be a Sunstreaker one, which is going to be kind of partially about his experience during when he was like having his head removed, and the second half is going to be the Megatronless Galvatron.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to see, because he's been gone for a while.
So Galvatron is a separate character. He's not Megatron.
Galvatron is an entirely separate character. There's
guys. Sorry. Spoilers. Sorry.
Well, that's not much of a spoiler in this. I mean, he's always existed on his own here. He had his own spotlight pretty early on in the IDW run. Him and Cyclonus and Scourge are already hanging out together, and they have nothing to do with, you know, Unicron or anything like that so far, and nothing to do with Megatron.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I got, like, Spotlight Wheelie, love that, but then I try Spotlight Cyclonus. I'm like, what the heck is going on here?
So, well, see, that's Spotlight Cyclonus was one of those ones that was really tied into other issues.
Right, right.
So having read Spotlight Cyclonus and the ones around it will have served you well when you read the Galvatron one coming up.
Well, I talked
like to, if you don't know what happened to Galvatron before and what was going on with Cyclonus, you will have can't see how you'd have any clue what is happening in the Galvatron half of
right. Well, I talked to Dave from Moonbase 2, and he said start with I think it was Resurrection. One of the things he said, start with that and work your way forward. So I have a lot to go through. So
yeah, and this just like you won't understand all of it till you've read all of it.
Right.
That's just how they put it together. And
so, all right, I'm
it sucks in one way, but it's cool in another.
So that being
Kang is half the battle.
Yes. Which, yeah, I loved how they worked that in the movie.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, that was great. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Shafiq into here because he actually attended Auto Assembly, and I just want to get his updates on what actually happened at Auto Assembly. So, Shafiq, if you're there, you can unmute yourself and tell us what you thought about Auto Assembly.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Okay, so what's the scoop?
Auto Assembly was awesome. There was loads going on. What I will mention is the Transformers that are on display, because you mentioned them earlier. They were pretty cool. They had some like NKs that were all in like gold chrome, and the displays were pretty cool. But the one that was the one was, you could hardly see it because it was in a box, and on the top it had like bubble wrap or something. So that was hard to see.
Okay, well, how were the guests and how were the presentations?
The guests were pretty cool. There was Ian James Collette, the voice of Cheetor from Beast Wars and Beast Machines. And then, I'll probably say this wrong, but Greg Berger, voice of G1 Grimlock.
Right.
So,
any big announcements?
No.
So nothing that we haven't seen already?
No.
Okay. So any other thoughts and feedback on Auto Assembly? I'm sure the Moonbase 2 guys, since they're in Europe, are going to cover this with like 5 hours of reviews.
Yeah, probably. not much else to say, but it was pretty good. I mean, it's definitely, if you live in UK or Europe, it's definitely the convention to go to because it's not that far.
The chat room wants to know nothing from Nick Roche about his miniseries.
He didn't really mention anything, I don't think.
Okay. Cool. All right, then. Well, thank you. Thank you for your feedback and whatnot. And if you could just go and mute your mic there. We're actually going to follow up with some reader email here that I've been neglecting for the last couple months. So thank you, Shafiq. I appreciate
it. Right then. See you later.
Be well. We had somebody send me Iron High 1975 rocks. Other dude, I mean, dude is okay. Z Piper is a decent host, but not as good. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. And I think
he called me a dud, not a dude.
Oh,
you're reading too fast again. Other dud, I mean, dude.
Other dud, I mean, dude is okay. Okay.
Right. Well, that's the one that when you sent this to me, I'm like, just you like making something up? Because the grammar was
I don't think English was his first
language.
And so,
yeah.
I think that was the case there. So,
I mean, that's fine. But I thought you were like making that, like you sent that just to like screw with me.
No, that's an actual email. So, all right, Ender, you got one there, if you would be so kind to read the email.
Are we reading these people's names, or are we just...
Just do the first name.
Do we even want to read, like, the really super long ones? I mean, some
yes.
of them are really...
I love when you read super long things.
Okay, this one is from Nick. Nick says, "Hey, guys, I'm a big fan of the podcast. Get funny and informed of all the stuff that goes on at deformers.com. Beside the one those is typing this, that guy had the Wookiee on him that was my dog named Rusty."
Keep going.
"He is Siburn Husky, and he's very big. I'm hoping that you do another video podcast and we see Ironhide 1975 face so that also me and some of my friends, three from Minnesota and two that live in
California, I'm presuming,
seeing TF2ROTF tonight at midnight. Your listener, Nick." That's all one sentence with no punctuation and no caps.
You know, Ender, you just did, the way that you read that aloud, you just did a phenomenal Anthony impression.
Well, when you speak with no punctuation and no caps, you're either Anthony or you're
yes, you know I was watching the
or you're Christopher Walken.
I was watching right. I was watching the roast of William Shatner last night, just thinking what a great thing it would be to do a roast of me 10 years down the line after I become a podcast legend and you guys could make fun of the way I talk. How funny would that be?
About as funny as your other four jokes.
It would be better if you'd work on that impression, but
no, yeah, this is the best I can do, Spock. So, all right, moving on. Once again, they're so bad. That's the joke. All right, Jace, do you have the one from? I guess I should have said his name. The other one from Matthew.
This is a really long one. You want me to read the whole thing?
Yes, that's why I gave it to you.
Oh God! All right. Hey guys, good show as usual. I was thinking about how you commented on Grindor nearly killing Sam when trying to recover him, and maybe Grindor, new to Earth and doesn't know how fragile humans are, or maybe doesn't really care. He is a bad guy. Grindor, too, captures the human, kills him, oops, my bad, and then he flies off happy. There is one less annoying human alive. Okay. Do we know that they need Sam alive, or can they get the Allspark information from a puddle of brain goo? And then I had heard it was Bay who pushed the original idea of Transformers not being able to speak. He wanted them all to talk through electronic beeps like Bumblebee did with the radio, and they eventually gave that up. Yeah, we did confirm that, you know, later on. We did a little snippet, I believe, in one of our later podcasts about that. But Bay insisted keep it with Bumblebee, and that's why he can't talk. And he liked it so much he brought the radio talk back, which we know about. We're good to go there. It says, unlike what your guest told you, IDW has killed off characters, then brought them back. They killed off and brought back Sunstreaker, and they later explained his death was faked and he was kidnapped.
No.
Is that right? No?
No. Not if you read it.
Andrew,
I've heard that one before. People bring that one up because within the context of again, if you read two issues in a row, the plan was always to fake Sunstreaker's death. They did not kill him in one issue and then retcon it back. There was this thing called the plot, And that was it. So
this thing called the plot, you stupid human. No.
Well, here's something else. Here's the next
creature.
Here's the next paragraph, because I believe you were the guest. Yes. I'm not sure why your guest tried to play down the errors in All Hail Megatron. They did exist. One of the biggest ones was that in All Hail Megatron, they created the Bombshell kickback and shrapnel on Earth during the series, despite the fact that Bombshell had made two appearances in the earlier IDW series.
Well, we talked about that earlier, actually.
Yep.
I think it was on Cybertron, actually, that they were not created but developed. But yes,
right.
I see where that comes from. But again, it's not actually an error. That's just, you know. Not everyone has read all of IDW. Right. I mean, like, you know, if you missed the issue that made some of this make sense, it very easily could seem like a continuity error. But almost all comics have some continuity errors. I mean, there's right. always something, but I really think that there's been a big overplay of, like, there's all these giant errors and retcons in All Hail Megatron, and there's really not. It's like if you read issue 2 and then you put it down, yeah, you might think there's continuity errors, but they really tie all that up. A lot of it got tied up in Maximum Dinobots. You know, these things all tie in together.
All right,
and that's I downplayed them because they need a little downplaying. They're not that big.
All right.
Continuing on, Jace.
Yeah, it says, the Dreamweave comics had problems too, like how Wheeljack sacrificed his life at the end of the first series to save the world, then was back online in the second series, and they explained it as he got better. Another big mistake is that he had several Autobots and Decepticons appear among the troops on Earth in the first Dreamwave series, like Red Alert. Then in the second Dreamwave series, they show that those same guys were among the Transformers who never left Cybertron. So how can Red Alert be on two planets at the same time? And the part with Superion dying was in Dreamwave comics. The first series, Superion rammed into a missile to save a city. But then in the third series, it was revealed that the military had salvaged his parts from the ocean, had his head in the lab. And, you know, we talked about that previously, too, where that was an unfinished plot because Dreamwave went belly up.
Yeah, since we'll never know what was retconned and what was – because Dreamwave never finished those stories – but I also think their first two especially were a little more haphazard. There hadn't been Transformers comics in like 20 years.
Right.
And I think they were really kind of like, well, let's just do what seems cool for like these five issues because this might be all there is.
Right.
And then they were kind of re-putting it back together. I don't think until they got their ongoing series fired up that they were really trying to create a cohesive continuity.
Right.
And it never got finished, so we'll never know.
Indeed. Yeah, and last paragraph, he was just saying when Dreamwave died, they had three different series that were midway in production. G1, a War Within story, and then the Energon comic book. And they also had plans for an Energon biography book, which was never released. And then sad that we won't ever see these stories finished, and they actually had a good Energon comic book series. And if you can make Energon interesting, you have to be doing good. And there you go.
And thank you, Matthew. So, all right. Well, on to the next email. Let's see. Which one do you have, Ender?
That is all the ones I have.
Oh, okay.
That's the other ones I got are just real short, talking about racism and Revenge of the Fallen.
Okay.
And this one wants to extend – I want to extend my shock and outrage at Michael Bay for not including our segment of the population in the latest Transformers movie. Sincerely, the two overly effeminate gay movie critics in Living Color and the gay guy who gets blown up in Independence Day and the gay Jabba the Hutt character in The Clone Wars.
So he included everybody but gay people, unless you want to count maybe Wheelie. So I don't know.
I don't think Wheelie's gay. I think he's just a little gender confused. He hasn't he hasn't cast his die just yet.
I do not believe there's any subtext in these characters.
Yeah. So all right, what's the next one?
Subtext to Michael Bay is the mean little notes he writes under the script.
Oh, yeah. The chat room is saying Wheelie's just a crackhead.
Exactly. And this one is another one about the Revenge of the Fallen review that we had, you know, ages ago at this point. Great review. I know critics have their opinions, but I'm just blown away that Peter Travers, a guy whose opinion I respect, called Revenge of the Fallen a leading candidate for the worst movie of the decade. And he gives some examples like worse than Glitter, worse than Pearl Harbor, worse than Freddy Got Fingered. And he's like, okay, I didn't see any of those, but you get my point. Worse than Catwoman. And it wasn't the worst movie of the decade or even this year, and that's all I can say. And then what he liked is Devastator. He's like, yes, no character development, but just the fact that it was a Decepticon baddie who was not gray, which I totally agree with, and the sight of his massive form gulping up a huge swath of desert was a piece of summer movie heaven. He liked the first action scene where Prime enters, and pretty much everything about Soundwave. You know, just thought that he looked cool. And his narrowed list of issues was that, of course, Mudflap and Skids. Michael Bay has some serious stones. What was his response to the cries of racism with the character of Jazz? Create two characters who make Jazz look like Barack Obama. And the crow, yeah, and I like this line here. The crows in Disney's Dumbo thought that these two characters were offensive. Yeah, that's a good line.
Well, it's very apt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, because that's exactly what the issue is that, you know, for years, you know, there's been the excuse of like, well, if we make them animals, then we can tell these jokes again, right?
Right.
Right.
So, it's like, we're not allowed to tell these jokes most of the time, but if they're about giant robots, then they're funny again. Now it's not offensive, right?
Oh, yeah, like, absolutely. That's what he thinks. Yeah. And his other couple issues were the lack of character development, which is what we talked about, G.I. Joe versus Transformers. Thank you. Sure, we got a glimpse of the Starscream Megatron struggle, and Prime's character was fleshed out a bit, but everyone else, no. And that would be okay if the movie was 80 minutes, but a movie pushing 2.5 hours, that's inexcusable. And the number three, which again, I totally agree, very short and sweet. Transformer testicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you.
It speaks for itself.
And thank you, Sean, for your feedback on that. So
indeed.
All right. Andrew, I just sent you one final email.
Oh. Have a look for that. Here we go.
Thanks to all of our fans for emailing us. You could send us email at tformers.com, podcast at tformers.com, or you can go to the forums and give us your feedback and or correct us every week like our fans do.
Well, and I think that we really should make time at least every other week to do this because, I mean, that's cool, but I know we've been busy with, you know, it's been going long and whatnot, but 2 months, I don't want, you know, that's too long to wait.
Well, yeah, but when I get to an hour and a half of doing the podcast, dude, I have no voice left.
Well, that's okay. I'll read them.
Oh, all right. Well, then there you go.
You don't have much voice left when we start sometimes, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's called stress.
It'll be okay. We're here for it. Okay, this is from Doug. And Doug says, here you go, gang.
This is dual mirrored grid work, I believe. One of our biggest fans.
Ah. He says, here you go, gang. Would love to stay and chat longer, but house info? I think was that when you guys were talking? I don't know what that's referring to.
He's buying a house and moving. That's why he hasn't moved much lately. So, yeah.
ETC, et cetera, is waiting on me. Oh, house info, et cetera, is waiting on me. I think that's what that means. Let me know what you both think of it. Went to the movie with it, and one person did like it, or at least said he did, in parentheses. We'll see the movie again today. Kind of have to. Was woke up previous night at 2:30 a.m., worked at work. Good idea. For 8 hours. Work for a friend of the family, getting dirt out of a foundation ditch for 4 hours in the sun. Bought the tickets, went home, got ready, got at the theater. Okay.
I'm not really sure this needs to be read.
Yeah, is this? Yeah, like okay.
Like this day.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I don't know. It just got at the theater at 10 p.m.
Crap.
Let us
Cheerios. Where are we going with this?
I was gonna. I mean, yeah. I mean, like, no offense to Dual Miller Brew Work or anything, man. But I mean, if you didn't proofread this one, I don't really. If there's something applicable to the podcast here, but I don't.
Tell us about it.
I think that, okay, to sum this up, I think he enjoyed the show or the movie and is going to see it again, and hope that we.
And he fell asleep through parts of it. He fell asleep.
All right, he didn't enjoy the movie. I don't know. You guys.
Twice. He fell asleep the first time he saw it, then he fell asleep again.
Well, maybe. Well, that's maybe because he was working digging a ditch. I mean, that could be it. You know. I mean, I don't know.
No wonder he thought he liked it. He had freaking exhaustion.
DMG.
Transformers 2 is good if you spend 17 hours in the sun digging a ditch first.
Well, no wonder you're gonna fall asleep. All right, DMG, we love you. Thank you for your feedback. You don't have to give us the whole story. Just summarize. That's what he said in the movie. Summarize. Beginning, middle, plot.
Yeah. You know, and now the plot of the movie.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that, I think, concludes our episode for this week. Once again, go check out tformers.com/podcast for all your Transformer podcasting needs, and go check out the forums, go leave us a review in iTunes, and we would like to thank our chat room for staying with us for this long and for also putting up with all of our crap with trying to get the stream to work. So that being said, thank you guys. Thank you. Well, I'll just thank Giga and the Mad Fog, Shafiq, and Barricade64. So thank you guys for putting up with us. And I think that's about it. So, little listeners note, there will be no show next week. I am going to Michigan on a special...
What are you going to Michigan for?
A special mission I can't describe, otherwise I have to kill you. So, actually, it's just vacation, folks. So, we may do a show, but it depends on when I get back on Sunday. So, I will keep you posted. But if there's no show next week, either because of vacation or lack of news, we will follow up with the following week. So, have C-3PO and Chewie do the show, okay? Z Piper and Ender, you're on for next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can do something, because, I mean, it's like we haven't had like two consecutive weeks where you and I have actually been on the same show in a while.
Well, who was gone last week on a lunch thing that I didn't check my email and figure out where you were? It was like he's missing action.
Right, but if you take the amount of – if we're going by attendance here, Mr. A – over the past couple of months, you've had stress days and vacation days and work days, and
problems, and you have to deal with stuff. Unfortunately, family comes first. So,
do you want to cry in the river, adults, or shall I?
Say what?
I'm just kidding. I said, do you want to cry in that river, or shall I?
Well, I did. You know, sometimes you do have to take a break. But
my family comes first, believe me.
Yeah, you got kids, for God's sake.
I got kids, believe me. I don't even know how I managed to do this.
Seriously. I mean, I have a bird downstairs, and at least with the bird, you can put him in the cage. I have no idea what to do with kids.
I have a patient and forgiving wife.
Oh. Well, God bless your wife. So, but anyhow, so we're not sure about the show next week is the point I'm trying to say.
If not, we can do it on Monday.
Yeah, we may do it Monday if you're around and I'm not – thoroughly exhausted, so.
Oh, you'll be fine. Suck it up.
So look for the show later next week. But we'd like to thank our wonderful host, and this is Iron High 1975.
The Piper.
And Ender.
Have a good one, folks.
Autobots, relieve them of their weapons.
The T-Formers.com podcast is copyright 2009 T-Formers.com. Special thanks to the Cleveland band Gravity for use of their music. Go check them out. MySpace.com/Gravity33. Check out our forums and leave your feedback or send us email at podcast@T-Formers.com. This has been an E&I production, all rights reserved.